I don't get how he can fight in those weird sandal shoe things. Like, seriously. This is Core.
Hello and welcome to Core. This is Core episode 53. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And you have to admit, I'm right. Why would you fight in a flat piece of wood with two little wooden teeth, basically, that looks like something you should serve sushi on in a like a really authentic sushi restaurant? Why would you fight in those and wear them on your feet? It doesn't make any sense. And then we were talking about this pre-show and John said, I saw somebody at a Ren Faire who made their shoes entirely out of rope and you poo-pooed on that until you wore them, and then they were the most comfortable thing you've ever worn. So somebody here, please convince me that Samuro's little freaking wood shoes are going to work in a fight against somebody like Artanis.
Well, I think it's so that you don't slip, you don't lose traction in the mud.
Oh.
I can't remember where I heard this.
Is that true?
It's not going
to
help you with Artanis.
Because your shoes will sink into the mud. Well, Artanis's feet will sink into the mud.
All right.
No, and he'll be slipping around. That Protoss skin's pretty luby. I don't know if you've logged into StarCraft lately, but he looks pretty sweaty, Those look like alien sweat. And I like to picture it as, you know.
Don't they all hover? They all hover, I thought. Don't they? The Protoss? Well,
yeah, people? They don't really touch. That's why they don't touch the ground. They just be falling all the time. They have very slippery skin.
I see.
The Protoss hug, you'll end up wet.
Yeah, nobody wants that. I can tell you that much. Nobody wants to get hugged by a Protoss.
Did I convince you that these shoes were acceptable combat gear?
No, you have not. I still don't believe it. And they're in fighting games. They're in anytime they want to show off some sort of samurai-looking Bushido blades-style thing. They're wearing these, you know, these little servings, these little sushi serving trays for shoes, and I just don't get it. It's
okay,
fine.
Okay, I got
though.
It.
All right, go ahead.
I just figured it out.
All right.
If you see someone running at you in those shoes and they can run in them, You're convinced that person's a better human being than you.
That's a good point. I had not considered that exact scenario. If they can,
it's a fear factor.
If you can run in them at all, then you clearly have a better navigation of this planet than I do, because I could not stand in them, let alone run in them. And maybe that's part of the deal. When you are the blade master of the Orkin Horde, all right, and you're one of the, I think he's, isn't he considered one of the elite Torn Chieftain? He's in the band, right? At least we think he is. Right? Or is it a different Samuro? I forget. Anyway.
I'm unclear about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am as well.
Yeah.
But we don't, maybe we'll have to interview somebody to get the final word on it. But my point is, if you are that guy, well, what am I saying? It was designed by Samwise Didier as a cool ninja man. And that's it. So giving them the weird shoes is something you saw in some samurai movie and done. That's it. That's the only reason they exist. I just can't stand looking at them. So I love this character. I like the way he plays. I've only messed with him a bit. I hope to tonight when we play together a little bit more. I really think he's cool. I just can't stand the freaking shoes and the puffy pants. All right? That's it. Puffy
Those
pants.
Are total hammer pants. Hammer pants.
Basically 100% of his wardrobe, but okay.
we need the MC Hammer skin stat.
I'm okay with it, like a banner sticking out of his back. That's cool. I'm okay with
He's
him
got
being
the beads,
right?
You know, the special beads.
The side of the sort of an Asian orc is okay with me, I think. Like, there's a lot going on that I'm okay with, but I just think the shoes need to go, and you need to get pants that don't look like they're on the upside down. Or the big parts at the bottom and the little parts at the top. That's all.
All right. I'm with you.
I'm glad we've got this all worked out, because today the brawls are out. Have you heard? It's out. We can get it.
Put your brawls back in.
Yeah, put your brawls away. We're gonna play this a little later, chat room. For those watching live, you can watch us play it here on Twitch when we're done with the show. The first one up is the crazy beat the Diablo guys Punisher's deal. What's it called?
Punisher Arena.
Bo, will you I know we talked about it some last time or a couple of weeks ago, but will you explain what the Punisher Arena is and how that plays?
All right, so this week's brawl, basically, you jump in, you pick it's a best of three. You get a random selection of characters. You go into the round. Two Punishers spawn in the middle. You rush to the middle. Kills score 4 points. Killing Punishers score 10. And basically, because there's no lanes for them to go push around, they start punching each other for a little bit, and then they're going to jump on you and stun you and punch. And you just repeat that over and over
again. Once they jump, once they start fighting each other, do they keep doing that for some time? Let me say that over again. Let's say they come together and the two Punishers are fighting in the middle of the map. And you're trying to figure out how to damage down their Punisher and also maybe kill some of their players, right? Because it's still 5-on-5. If he jumps to me because I'm close to him, the Punisher, that is, and fights me for a bit, and our Punisher jumps closest or to the closest player from their team for a minute and pounds on them for a bit, and we heal through that and everything's okay, do they walk back and go back to fighting each other again? Or now are they separated and they're pushing in their lanes?
At a certain period of time, they both do like a super jump to one of five spots, I think, randomly on the map. It depends. I think there are a few variants. It's funny, I didn't pay that much attention. I don't think there's one Punisher arena layout, if I'm not mistaken, although they all use the same tile set.
Right.
But they know after a certain while they reset and you start over, even if they don't get killed.
Okay. So they're just, and it's just a
they
constant.
They kill, the new one spawns.
It's just like a, okay. So they're like creep in a way, sort of, except they're one at a time. When one goes
keep
down,
in mind, they also have their Diablo modifiers. You can get Arcane Punishers, Frozen Ones, Mortar Punishers. I think that's it.
And that's random as best we know. That's just coming out when it comes out. Okay. John, have you played it yet? Have you messed around with it?
I have. Okay. I played a whole bunch. Got my achievement, my gold on the PTR, and then I just kept going.
All right. The reason I ask, you were the most skeptical of the Brawl. You were the one... rightly so, I think. I think you gave everyone a little pause to think about what it meant to just wedge in another Hearthstone-style Brawl system into the game, or was this going to be something different? So your experience so far, does it equal or exceed those expectations, or is it worse? Like, where's your head at? You already said you liked it, so I want to know how much you liked it.
I really did like it. I would say it exceeded my expectations. I still kind of wish it wasn't week to week. I still wish there was... I mean, the nice thing is with the Punisher Brawl, you don't know what heroes you're going to get. And so there is a level of randomness, which I think really appealed to me getting back in. I'm going to be curious to see how I do when it comes to an arena where it's like, okay, you're going to play Hammer every single game. And even if they make that fun, if there's no change up to it, I'm probably going to bounce after the three matches or whatever.
All right,
that'll probably be all I do.
You'll get your weekly reward and then you'll get out, because that's all you need is three matches, right? Isn't that the deal right now?
Yeah, three matches, and then you've got your quest and you can bounce if you're not interested in it. But this one, there's a good variety and it's a good way to try new heroes in kind of a different setting. So it was really fun to say, oh, well, I have no choice. I have to play Nova this round. So I'm going to do that. And there's no pressure. There's no demands being made of me. I can just go ahead and do that.
Quick note to mention here, both Zul and Asmodan are not in these brawls because of AI problems with their summons, it says. This is according to a recent Reddit Q&A. MMR is seeded from Quick Match, but Brawl has its own MMR, so that's important. You start kind of from your Quick Match MMR, but then you sort of launch into its own. And they're looking into Observer mode for Brawls, but not ready for Brawl's launch, obviously, because it's not there today. The part I want to talk about there is, what the hell's wrong with Asmodan and Zul with their summons? What's wrong with that? Their summons.
I think their skeletons and the generals and all that are designed to like move to a lane, right? When they're not doing anything else. And I think there's no lanes. So, and if they're running, they're just kind of not doing anything. So I don't know if this is a question of them just taking a bit more time to bake it or not. That wasn't clear, but AI problems. So
I see. So
they just don't know where to go and they blow up the entire game. Maybe I don't.
So Asmodan's not a problem, I guess. Cause I mean, he does some of that. Who else does that? There's other things, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, Samuro's mirror images work fine, and I think Arthas is in it. I think I've seen an Arthas, and he has the Army of the Dead, but it's, I think these ones have specific AI that really push lane, like that are designed to push lanes. The other ones are designed maybe to go after heroes or to hang out in a certain area, but those ones are designed largely to just push down a lane unless there's something to hit nearby, basically. So,
well, if you're in the audience right now watching and you want to maybe be on the opposing five-man team, we may do this as a... These can be custom, right? I hope. Or can they?
They can. They can be custom, I believe.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do a custom brawl if we can. If not, we'll do a rant against some randos. But one way or the other, we will test this out tonight with our various levels of experience with it and see what we think. Though before we move on, I know this kind of this jumps down the notes a little bit, but I guess I'm at this place where I no longer want to hear about new heroes that land and are less than exciting for everybody. What's the word on the street with Samuro so far, or Samuro, however the hell to say his name?
Do people I'd like say him? if Samuro was a stock on the stock market,
yeah.
Oh boy,
a stock person might be bullish about the prospects of this hero.
Okay.
I think people are really excited. That was a terrible analogy.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, totally worked.
I liked it. What I really liked about it was that you adopted a whole new linguistic style around it because suddenly you're talking about stocks. I've never heard you say bullish before, but now we're going to talk about stocks.
Yeah, so. I like it. You're like you're like a CNBC correspondent or something. Tell us about today's market numbers. This is great.
Well, what you should be doing is optioning your shorts and...
I always option my shorts.
Raking in your interest on your dividends.
Well done. I really feel like my portfolio has benefited from our conversation. Thank you.
So, I think people are really excited about him. I don't know. It's hard to say. He's really fun to play. There's definitely the excitement is palpable and there's a reason for it. I'm excited too. But sometimes, we don't see how strong characters are. Like everyone's hating on Lunara and she's the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And then everyone gets super excited for a hero and it might not be as good. You know, everyone's got, what's rose color? Is it rose color?
Rose color glasses. Yeah. It's a bit like, it's like Ana in Overwatch. There was this period of time and very little has changed about her, but there was this period of time where people were like, we don't want her in here. She's not part of the club, whatever. And they weren't playing her very much. And then you started to see pro teams picking her every time. She was like a must pick for every team and every game, and now it is a mad dash as to who gets to play her and when, and I play way too many quick matches where multiple people are trying to be her, not because they have a funny idea, but because they just want to be her. So I think that happens with this game. I feel like that happened with Gilneas Pete. I feel like that happened with, who's another one that kind of came on strong later, like just out of nowhere, and I can't think of anyone now. But he's a good example. Like I feel like
Chromie.
Oh, Chromie. Yeah, Chromie's definitely in a new
Gul'dan
place. Yeah. Maybe a little bit with Gul'dan. But like Chromie, you know, got a lot of heat. You liked her. You played the hell out of her. But then she kind of went unfavored for a long time and people complained. And now I see her all over the place and she's kind of killing it. So I don't know what the trajectory for this particular character is. And maybe we should quit trying to figure that out every time one's launched. But I just hadn't heard anything in the range of he's OP or he's underpowered or anything like that yet. So I guess that's good. So
yeah, it's again, I mean, we can just jump right into Samuro right now if you want to go ahead.
Let's talk about him. Let's do it.
Let's talk about him. He's got, so in case you haven't seen any of the marketing around it or anything like that, so you've been living under a rock or you just hold out until you come to us for your source of information. If so, thank you. Mm-hmm. He's a melee assassin, and his big deal is trickery. So, he has a Q, it's mirror image. He makes copies of himself. He can turn himself invisible using Windwalk, which is his E. And he can critical strike passively every 4 or 3 hits, depending on your talent. And he can just push the critical strike button to make his next auto critical strike.
Does that have a cooldown, by the way, that auto or the press the button to do it thing?
The auto attack one isn't, but the press the button one does have a cooldown.
Okay, all right.
No mana on any of these abilities. Yay! And I read on the Reddit Q&A, they said it's because when they were designing them, they didn't want to have 6, HP and mana bars all over the screen. So it's more readable was their philosophy on that.
Sure.
So the big thing with this character is that he does damage one way. Apart from the ultimates, he does damage one way, which is auto attacks. He doesn't like QWE doesn't do like the W is still his auto attack. So he's very much in that Illidan sort of camp where basically even Illidan does damage with his abilities. Mm-hmm. That's the long and short of it. His Bladestorm is an area of effect damage over time ability, and Illusion Master can turn you into the Lost Vikings, essentially, with your illusions.
Which is kind of cool. So let me ask you this quick question about the Q ability, the mirror image thing. We usually see that in mages and things like that. I think it makes a lot of sense for kind of a melee warrior to have an ability like this, especially some sort of mystic, you know, from the East sort of, you know, fantasy like we're dealing with him. What's unique about that, though, is that those mirror images are, to you, they look kind of, you know, transparent and fake because you launched them and you need to know the difference between them and you. But to your opponents, they look exactly like you and they do damage out of the gate. Not a ton of damage, but they do some damage, not nearly as much as you. How hard is it going to be? Like, I still feel like I fall for fake Novas all the time. I wonder how easy it will be to pick up on whatever the patterns are or whatever it is that makes me realize which one's human and which one are his mirror images.
If I had to guess, I think it's going to be kind of difficult. And the better a player you are, the more difficult it is to pull that stuff off. But I think he's going to give a lot of people problems. I think he already is. So,
All right.
I think it's going to be a case, too, of it's very ambushy. So sometimes even if you can tell what has happened and you can tell which one's real, maybe by the time your brain has processed that, he's already done what he needed to do and gotten out of there. Mm. Because he is going to be a very surprising character. And so being able to identify, okay, I think that's the real one, is going to be important, but it might not always be effective, even if you can do it fairly quickly.
Right. So does he... What's launching with Hellbore and... Oh, sorry. I thought that was an ability. You're talking about, like, the actual... I get it now.
Yeah. He also launches a Hellbore at people.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is that about?
He's launching with a mount and a demonic sort of version of himself.
The Hellbore's freaky because it's got, like, three faces on it. So it's got, like, this front-facing normal boar head face. And then on the side are these two kind of... I don't know what you call them. They're, like Chinese dragon style sort of on the sides. And it's freaky as hell. That is not a pig you want to eat, play with, mate with, or make your friend or pet.
When you say mate with, you mean like bring a special someone with you riding atop it to go to the drive-in.
Yes.
That way.
That's the kind of mate I mean. Not
and not the literal mating with the Hellbore.
No, I don't want that. Do you want that? I don't want that.
I can pretty safely say that there are zero pigs I want to mate with.
That's a good standard, I think. It's a good place to start, to put your flag in the ground and say, this is where I draw the line.
Yeah, I'm not much for strong stances, but I'll take one in this case.
All right, so he is a badass, seems pretty cool. I've yet to really play him in anything competitive. I've only done him in try mode. So tonight, we'll see how he's looking. Of course, the queue times for him are terrible. I did notice that when I logged in today. So
yeah, I haven't played him. I logged in. I purchased him the day PTR launched. Mm-hmm. Didn't get to play him in quick match. The queue. I waited 3,000 seconds. I went and did something else just as an experiment, and then I said, "Forget it."
Was that 3,000 really?
Seconds? That's like 40 minutes or something like that.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and it was looking like that today. I logged in. I'm like, "Oh, let's get Samaro around before today," and same thing. So.
Yeah, that's the way this stuff goes at first anyway. Yeah. So give it some time. So, it'll clear up, right?
Well, Chromie, I mean, you could get into her day one, right? So that gives you a sense of how excited people are for Samaro.
Yeah, I think whenever you... I don't want to make any broad assumptions about the player base, but I'm just going to say this, okay? So just hear me out, listeners, and you two. Here's the deal. And I don't mean you two, the band. I mean you guys right there watching me.
Listen up, Bana.
Edge, what are you hiding under that hat, Edge? So I think that the reason, I mean, how do I put this? When you appeal to the biggest portion of your player base, they're going to get more excited and give you 40-minute queue times. And if you say to a bunch of dudes, hey, we're going to put in a little tiny lady mage, or we're going to put in some big badass samurai orc guy with a giant sword and stupid shoes, which way are you going to go? You're probably going to go the orc guy with the stupid shoes. It's just a guess. I don't want to make broad assumptions. Obviously, Blizzard works very hard to try to have a very diverse stable of characters to choose from that appeal to a broad range of player types, and that's great, and they should keep doing that, but it's probably why, you know.
Well, I mean, my issue was she was the gnome. Like, that was really all it took. Like, yeah, normally, like...
John's a racist. We know, John, yeah, you're racist.
Compare,
you don't need to explain it.
Samuro to Jaina, and I'd be more excited for Jaina. but you compare Samuro to a gnome and
yeah.
Okay, so you'd be more excited for a hot girl over an ugly orc that's cool at killing. Like that, you're still a gnome racist. That doesn't make it any better.
Oh, I haven't denied being a gnome racist. I don't like gnomes.
Are you a gnomist? What do you call it?
I just say gnome. That's my new, that's going to be my shirt.
You
just
are
say gnome.
Gnome to gnome. Nope. Gnome. Yeah.
Just say gnome.
You're gnomophobic.
Hashtag gnome.
You're
gnome not even once.
You're no. You're a gnomophobic. You're gnomophobic. Yeah.
There we go. You got it.
That's the one I meant to say. Well, anyway, he's neat, and we'll look at him a little bit later. All right, we're going to jump back up to what we were going to talk about before this, and that is you guys dabbled a bunch in this over the weekend. I didn't get a chance to, but you played a bunch of Allied Commander in StarCraft II and found it more fun than you expected. I'm very curious about this because what's kind of happened to StarCraft is that particular feature came out with a third expansion, with the Protoss expansion, and when Legacy of the Void launched, it was there and a part of it, and they made a big deal out of it leading up to it, but I feel like I didn't hear much about it. I think John and I dorked with it once on a stream, maybe a little.
Yeah, we played it one time, and we were like, that was great, and then we never touched it again.
And then we didn't go back, and part of that is because so much Blizzard is happening outside of what was going on in StarCraft at the time, so it felt like StarCraft was kind of this thing that I'm glad we're finishing it out. I'm glad that they got to the end of this trilogy and so on and so forth. But, you know, everybody's hearts were elsewhere. They were, you know, in Overwatch or in Heroes or, you know, in World of Warcraft Legion or something. And so we just kind of left it. And then Bo got this wild Canadian hair up his butt and said, we should play this some. And you guys did. So, Bo, what'd you think of that time in there?
All right. So I came to try StarCraft just because of the StarCraft's mod, which also deserves a little mention as being really cool.
Yeah.
But the problem is it's PvP, and I just lose every game. Not a great StarCraft player, but I like StarCraft. And while I was in there, I said, oh, let's try this co-op thing. And I got hooked. That game, like, so the reason why it's important to talk about Allied Commanders, I think, on a Heroes of the Storm show is it's the same development team. And it's even made, I think, in the same engine. And this aspect of StarCraft to sort of take something from the progression in talenting system in a different way and applies it to Heroes or applies it to StarCraft too. And it's really fun. You get to play Kerrigan in this game. You get some of her abilities and some new ones, but you walk around as a hero unit and kill all kinds of stuff as her. Yeah. And what it really sort of emphasized to me, like the experience this week was new stuff in Heroes. Let's go play PTR. And I was like, actually, I'm going to go play Allied Commanders. Right now, that's just what I want to do. I'll come back to Heroes, I'm sure, but like I've just wanted to play it. And it really emphasized something for me. And this game has been out for a while, that it's not the rewards. I mean, the music and the VO are really great. All of the all the stuff Blizzard does is really great. But what they really nail is gameplay. And there isn't, I think, an experience more fun in all of Blizzard games than that moment where you get your like handful of SCVs and you start going to work. That's sort of like, you know, 0 to 5 minute mark where you're just building up and you're planning your path. Short of it being in a stressful environment, so you're playing against some diamond level player, just getting owned. That's not fun. But otherwise, given some time, it's really, really fun to do. Just to do it. And I just find that I keep wanting to do it. And so I'm thinking about some of the lessons here about how that applies to Heroes. Because you asked about Samuro. How do people feel about Samuro? Well, he's got great VO. There's great marketing around it. The music's great. Everything about him, great. And we like him because he's OP. But really the most important thing is how fun is he to play?
Yeah.
And that needs to apply to a lot of characters. And when I think about some things, like even going back to, let's say, Chromie, how fun is Chromie to play? I don't know that she's that much fun. I think there's some stuff we can apply to this deluge of heroes that we're getting and say, some of these guys need a bit of work. And let's jump ahead a little bit and bring this into the conversation. On PTR, I don't think it was intended to be there. They upgraded Artanis again. They gave him.
Yeah, they did.
They gave him, you could slash dash, you know, you could do the Sinatra dance. They gave him slash dash, the ability to use phase prism while you're slash dashing. What we've been talking about for like a year, wouldn't it be cool if?
Yeah.
And they're like, oops, sorry, it's just something we're experimenting with. You might see it later on down the line, but don't expect it live. And that was the saddest moment this past week. But that's what made him fun. And I'm starting to think we're getting to a point where I think maybe like we should slow down on the number of heroes getting released and start focusing on what makes them fun to play. Not OP, not, you know, knee-jerk reacting to the community Zarya style, because that hero's been through the ringer in the past week. We took the week off. That hero got changed like 8 times by the time we got
It was unprecedented. No character's gone through that quickly before. It was crazy.
Well, no point in even talking about it.
Before you go too much further, though, Bo, I do want to argue one point with you. And I can't believe I'm about to defend the friggin' gnome, but I'm going to defend the gnome. I think Chromie is fun. And I think she's fun to a specific type of player, in that I think if you want to be the kind of person that's really good at skill shots, there is a reward built in Chromie. If you are a good Chromie and you can make your skill shots and you can complete your quests and you can annoy the crap out of the enemy team and snipe them from crazy distances, I think that's a rewarding experience. Now, I don't think it's a rewarding experience for everybody, but I don't think every hero needs to be for everybody either.
I don't know, because I played Overwatch and I found a way to like nearly every hero in there. Well, you see what I'm saying? Like, because what I'm arguing is not that Chromie is bad. Maybe she is, or maybe she isn't. Maybe you're right, John. I think what I'm arguing is that her rate of release is really high, and I haven't even settled on my opinions on Zarya, or even Gul'dan for that matter. Mm-hmm. And I play a lot, and I'm. Is she fun? I don't like. I played Zarya quite a bit. I don't find her that great. Like, not she might be OP or not. She's not fun to play. Mm. I gotta be honest. I haven't enjoyed playing her. Mm. And sometimes I understand it's me, and it takes me some time to grow on some of them. But I just feel like there's some problems here on that front. And StarCraft as a game has been developed for years, so that whole build order thing's perfected. But it's been really rewarding just to play StarCraft. And I thought that was an interesting, that's a reaction I had. Mm. And you've been finding it fun too. We haven't been logging into Heroes. We've been playing Allied Commanders. Arguably as close to Heroes as you can get without it being a MOBA. Yeah. You know, I have Kerrigan and I'm running around doing stuff.
It's funny that you said earlier that you're not very good in competitive StarCraft. I think a lot of people just assume that RTS players are the ones that graduated to MOBAs and became really strong there. And that may be true in some cases, but I'm with you. I don't know that the skill sets are the same or as nearly as the same as people think they are. Let me back this up a little bit. You're not saying the entire stable of characters that they've released for this game aren't fun. Obviously, there are many characters you love to play. And in fact, when Chromie was new, you were singing her praises as the fun character while everybody else was mad about how underpowered she was or her win rate was so terrible. And it made you, I remember the words out of your mouth were, it made me feel bad because you were having so much fun with her. Lunara, same thing. You're having so much fun. Her fantasy not only spoke to you, but the way she played, like all that stuff was fun. So forgetting that the definition of fun is fluid and we all can have different opinions of what fun is, of the entire stable that are out right now, what do you think the percentage is of characters that need that kind of the return to making them fun before we make new characters in your mind?
I don't know what the percentage is, but I'd be close to 40, 50%. Even Lunara, you bring up, she doesn't feel like the hero I wanted. It doesn't, there's not like, they buff a few numbers. They have a balanced team. They buff her to make her viable. I'm not seeing a lot of work on the, we need to make these characters more fun to play front. Mm. To be honest with you, when I look at the reworks that they're doing, some of them have worked. Tychus is a good example of that. But I'm not just talking talents. I'm talking the feel of the character, like just, you know, the way things are functionally working with them. And I just think that it's not that they're bad. It's that now, having played a lot of them for quite a bit, I sort of see that we could be perfecting Heroes as much as we're releasing. I don't think we need to have 13, like, and this is a question of preference. If we said there was more touch-ups on Heroes, but that means we only got 6 heroes per year, I think I'm on that side. I think we slow down and we make sure what we have in the game is really fun to play.
Yeah. To compare it to Overwatch, I kind of had this experience with D.Va a little while ago where I thought she was one of my favorite characters to play in the game. This is some time ago before some changes happened. But I never had as much fun with her. She felt clunky and kind of a little bit awkward. I didn't feel the kind of fluidity I feel with other characters, certainly other tanks in that game. And then they made some very fundamental changes to her that still left her with her basic kit and essentially what her job is, but she suddenly became 10 times more fun to play with the changes that they gave her. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, that's how big of a jump it was for me. And then I could not get enough of D.Va and wanted to play her constantly. That hasn't really happened for me in Heroes yet, where a rework has done that for me. In fact, a lot of times, part of it is I think we play them so long. I played Nazebo for so many games that when you change Nazebo so fundamentally, right now I'm not finding him fun to play. I find him kind of confusing and awkward to play. And that's probably more on me and my muscle memory of how I used to play him. And I have to come around to what makes him fun now. But the difference between that and, say, the D.Va update kept everything kind of still there and just changed how the shielding works and a few timing things, and that's it. And it changed the world for that character. Do you think it needs to be smaller things like that? Like, not say, well, we want to completely overhaul Valor. We want to completely overhaul Nazebo. Couldn't they just come and say, we want to do one or two interesting tweaks? Like, maybe the best example is Sylvanas with her new, when she got her new ultimate. We were all pretty excited about that when that happened. And it suddenly gave a whole new fun thing to do with her without changing her too fundamentally. So my question is, can they be less overhaul and more tweaky? Well, there's a middle ground between I'm just changing numbers.
They're doing that in this patch. There's one little thing going in, and if you're a Rexxar fan, and I haven't tried it, so I'm not sure, is all they tightened up. She has that one button, Misha Focus. They tightened it up. I don't know what that means. I saw a few Reddit responses saying, thank you. This, I don't want a big flashy, here's a patch note, or here's a thing. Make the thing more responsive. Make it play better. And it all takes resources. And I'm not saying we can't have one without the other, but given that we've had a year or two of release history, I see way more new releases, not that many new maps, but those are still good. Like, not, it's a positive thing, but not a ton on the tweaking and perfecting of the game client. And it didn't really jump out at me too much this whole time until I started playing StarCraft, because I know that's a game that has been massaged a lot over the years. It's been out for a very long time. Yeah. And it just got me thinking, like, the reason I'm doing this, my favorite part, it's AI. It's like the least credible form of StarCraft to be playing. but it's super. I've played, I don't know, 100, 200 games in the past. Like, I've just been like, I want to play another one more game. It's fun to start building up your army and going nuts. Mm. And to get back onto the love fest about StarCraft 2, just because I highly recommend people take a time out to play it. Unless, John, you wanted to say something.
No, I'm dying to say something, actually. Okay. Like, right. I'm going to take the little flag out of Samaro's bum, and I'm going to plant it on the exact opposite hill of you and say, I completely disagree. I look at your thoughts on Tracer when she first came out. And I see a character that you said is like the most boring hero in the game. And then turn around and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I love Tracer. She's so great. She's the only character I play. And I think about when I'm playing the game and I think, okay, all of a sudden I discover Lunara, character I said was the most boring character in the game. I couldn't stand to play her. I didn't even want people to talk about her. All of a sudden now I'm loving playing her and she's the only character I want to play. You only discover those gems because they exist in the game. And it's not always because, oh, they went through and reworked her and made her better. It's just because you came to them at a different time in a different place and said, okay, I'm going to give this a go and I'm going to see it. It wasn't, you know, a big change to the character that caused this. It was just perspective and time and your familiarity with the game and the game's mechanics and all of that that ultimately changed it. And to me, you get those gems by having a large roster to choose from. I like having the big roster. I like knowing that, because I don't feel like I need to be perfect at every single character. I don't need to know the ins and outs of every single one of them. I can look at a Chromie and say, okay, I get what you're about. I'm bouncing. I don't want to be a part of this right now. And maybe rediscover her later and say, oh man, this character was great. I wish I had known. Yeah. So to me, I just don't think that like them stopping and taking another couple weeks to quote unquote perfect the character is going to do anything. I think iteration from the hands of the players is what develops these characters into something. I think they probably didn't build Sylvanas and say, well, we got one really good ultimate and we got one really awful ultimate, but we need a new character out, so we'll just put her out and we'll fix it later. I think they probably felt like, no, these are good. These are strong ults. And then the player base said, no, they're not. There's one that's good and there's one that's not. And eventually we got to a cool place with her. Mm-hmm. And I think that iteration happens because they pushed them out, not because they sat back and took an extra couple weeks of dev time.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you said, actually. I don't think that's in opposition. What I'm not arguing is to take longer. I'm just, whatever the management of their resources are on their end, I think the massaging happens post-launch. And I think there needs to be more of it because, like I said, this week the Misha Rexxar fix was in. People have been asking for that. Like, people have been asking for Rexxar fixes since launch. They don't necessarily want new talents. I'm sure they do. They just want it to work right.
Yeah.
The complaint is, generally speaking, is not working right. And yet you've launched it and you're like, we have 52 heroes. Well, Rexxar, people who want to play Rexxar are saying he doesn't feel fun to play.
So now that's an interesting point, because I think I know where you're coming from. I would rather that they stick to their original vision. Okay, so whatever their original vision for, we'll use Vala as an example. She's one of the earliest heroes and one that I quite like still. Her original vision for what she was and the overtime massaging that she got put her in a place where she was one of my favorite characters to play. And I really liked her for that. Now, she may not have been everyone's cup of tea, but she ended up being kind of right where I wanted her. And I think they've had a tendency to say, all right, well, we're up to 40 plus characters. We can now go back to some of those launch characters and rework them. And I'm not sure that's what I really want out of that. Like, I wouldn't mind tweaks or improvements or whatever, but to completely shuffle the deck and change how they play fundamentally based on all the time you have been playing them with a bunch of changes you're not familiar with or you don't feel comfortable with yet is jarring. And that jarring experience is the part I don't like. So I'm less concerned about them launching not as fun. I'm more concerned about, as time goes on, thinking that a complete revamp is the only way to make them fun. And throwing all that other stuff away seems like, well, A, kind of a waste, and B, well, was it ever any good? Are you guys saying it was bad from the get-go and I wasted, you know, 14 levels of this character and played who knows how many hundreds and hundreds of games with them because it was always bad and you just had to get around to making it good again and now I don't like what you changed? Like that part is, there's a real cognitive break there for me. And I'm not saying this is everybody, but I definitely feel it. So I would be, where I'm at with this is I'm all about them releasing the best possible thing they can. But when they do that and it doesn't work for everyone, I get it. Jaina didn't work for me at first. And then when I caught on and went, oh, and it rang a bell and I was great. Like your Lunara story, John, like that. And it just, something clicks and you're happy to go. I'm less worried about that than I am about them completely, like I say, reshuffle the deck. Because then I feel like, well, what did I just do then? What was that character supposed to be for if it wasn't for what I had it for? Now it's this whole other thing. Like, Nazebo just feels weird to me now. It just feels kind of wrong. He doesn't feel as fluid, or there's not the rhythm to him. He used to have a rhythm. Well, there's a lot of fluid still, all right? There's plenty of fluids.
It's kind of like you're soliloquizing about love lost. I just don't love him anymore.
Yeah. I totally get what he's saying, though. I feel the same way about Nazebo. I got him in a brawl, and I did not have a lot of fun playing. I was like, wait a minute. Are these spiders hitting anything? How does this work?
Yeah.
How do the spiders even work now?
Because I'm Nazebo. Two people are breaking up with him in the same week. It's horrible. Yeah,
you know I'm what done. He needs? Just kidding. Whoops, turn that off. I love me some Nazebo from a very core level, and I'm irritated that he's not as fun for me to play. Now again, I may just have to recycle the Jaina experience and come back to love him again. But I'm not ready to do that yet. So that's something I think they just have to think about. And I'm sure they are. I'm sure this is an issue. You know, you can't fundamentally change a character so drastically and expect all the players to just immediately like it. Like, it's, nobody likes change anyway. And in this case, our love of a character is often based on a specific rhythm and a build and a feel. And when that feel changes and you're not ready for it, it feels discordant. It feels like you're in the uncanny valley, like something's wrong with Nazebo. And I don't think they want us to feel that way. So I hope in future they're less like complete tear everything out and rebuild it, and more let's give that character a little something extra, or let's boost that one thing they do, or or what, even if it's just moving a few talents around, I can live with that. A few stat changes, that stuff's cool. But was anyone arguing that Nazebo was boring, like completely boring? I wasn't. And I'm sure there are plenty of players who weren't either. So I don't know. This is an interesting conversation though. And I know listeners are going to have stuff to add to this.
It feels like they wanted to make him more competitive and not necessarily more fun. Mm. That's what the changes feel like. And I don't think they did either. So
it's actually a good point.
Can't always win. That's my opinion.
It's a hard challenge.
I think that's spot on. Actually, that's sums it up real well.
Yep. That being said, we already talked about him. Let's talk about the Artanis change just real quick. Can you explain it to me? So when you said Phase Prism is usable during the dash, that means when you're dashing, you can poop out the prism and suck a dude back that was way over by your prism or by your slash dash.
Uh-huh. Yep, exactly.
That seems OP to me. That seems bad. Doesn't it seem bad?
No, it seems like the most amazing thing ever that ever existed, and it's great.
All right.
And Artanis is the best hero in the game.
All right.
The reason I was so excited about it could be broken. There's definitely some crazy things you could do because his slash can technically go through environment. Mm-hmm. So you could theoretically like blade dash between some trees to where the boss is, and then swap someone out so you're now over by the boss and they're on the other side of the trees. So I can see where it could be broken, but it sounds so cool to be able to do and time correctly, and it would look amazing and you would feel like the coolest player in the world when you pull it off correctly.
Yeah.
So I would really love for this to be back. I'm with Bo. I was sad.
Okay. So, but doesn't this feed into our previous conversation that the balance of the game being so paramount to Blizzard and to that team and to competitive play is so important that they can't just willy-nilly make a change like that Artanis change without completely screwing up balance? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I kind of get why they can't do that, you know? Yeah. Like, if they put that out right now in the Raw with your Ma and Pa, they would be, you know, that'd probably be bad. The game would go have them weird flip out and they'd have to hot fix stuff. And it does, like, that's always the monster in the room. The monster in the room is saying, balance me. And they're going, but this is fun. I don't give a shit. Balance me. Right?
Yeah.
The balance monster.
Great bedtime story.
When you guys have little kids.
I didn't want to interrupt. I was enjoying it immensely.
Children, gather round for another tale of the balance monster. No, Daddy, no. All right. Some other stuff in development, rather. You got the Deputy Vala, which looks great.
We're going to call it from that from now on. It's the Deputy.
She looks like Girl McCree, and it's awesome. It's a sweet skin. It's looking real good. Cyberhawk Kael'thas looks pretty all right, I suppose. Scarecrow Zul, also all right, I guess. iPad, it's like E-I-Y, and it's like a big, nasty, like, bulbous, reminds me of, like, a boss in, like, an old D&D game, but laid flat like a disc so you can ride around and stand on the eyeball, just going, right on the eye. Anyway, that's all part of the Hallows Eve bundle, or Hallows End bundle. Is that out now? That's not out yet, is it?
No, it's not yet. The iPad is only available with Hallows End bundle.
Okay.
Yeah. So, notably, this matches the Octopus Alarak skin. Mm-hmm. So if you bought that one now and you want the full set, you're pot committed to a lot of money.
Yeah. I wonder why those didn't ship the same. Did he ship with a mount or didn't he? I don't remember now.
No, I don't believe he did.
I don't think he did.
No, because he just flies if you want him to.
Who had the Tron cycle? Who was that?
Was that Kerrigan? That was Kerrigan.
Kerrigan. Okay. And her new skin, her awesome skin. By the way, there's another character that grew on me over time. Like, that's when I hated it first, could not even stand looking at being played. Eric would pick her, and I'd just go, I'd have a little disgust. It's not your fault, Eric. I just felt that way. I don't know why.
Stop talking about Eric like that.
There's some quiet judgment going on.
It's because Kerrigan looks like a piece of bark, and she's got tentacles. She's a tentacled piece of bark, and I don't like her, and whatever. It's fine, but she grew on me in a big way, and now I'm happy to pick her. So, I don't know. This game's weird as hell. What else? We got some experience points leveling up in the next patch, October 18th. That's next Tuesday, right? Right?
No, that's today.
Sorry, that's today. What day is it? The 18th today?
Yep.
You guys, I woke up with the flu.
Welcome to the future.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway, there are bonus rewards for 50% bonus XP and gold for that match, for the first win of the day, I should say. Does not count in Brawl, custom games, and training. So if you're excited about Brawl mode and think that's where your first win will come, incorrect.
It's not going to be there.
No. Oh, I noticed something, by the way. When you go to the play screen, there's a new... This is super subtle and tiny, but usually when you go in there and it kind of goes... And all the like the floor tiles all flap out and the and your character you've chosen from last time is standing in the middle and now you can go change him. He comes in like a big glowing, like almost like Star Trek beaming down kind of animation now. So check it out tonight. You'll see it. It's kind of cool.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm excited to see that.
Just something I noticed. A little, very small thing. Also, I can't find any, I couldn't find any, you know, I go for the important stuff first. I couldn't find any Easter eggs in the Sumuro splash screen. So unless I'm blind and dumb, I could not find anything in there.
They said no more Easter eggs.
Did they say that?
No, they did one for Zarya.
They did one for Zarya. That's true.
Yeah.
Did they? What was it again?
Oh, it was awesome.
You light the two things and a clock appeared.
No.
The garden appeared. The garden.
Oh, the garden. Yeah, that took no time at all. That model, you know.
Still, yeah. It seemed really impressive.
It's technically an Easter egg, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed really impressive, though. Like, here's this giant, you know, garden. It's the only time I've ever liked the Garden Terror in my life was then. So they got that right. Anyway, it bums me out if they don't do those. I like those. Anyway, what else? We got a party bonus. That XP bonus earned by playing in a party now scales based on the number of party members from two players at 25%, five players at 50%. So tonight, we should, in theory, if we play a game that has XP. Does the Brawl have XP? I don't even know.
No.
Okay.
So no, it does. Does it? A very tiny amount.
Okay.
Oh, does it? Okay. But I thought they weren't doing any.
But regardless, we will get plus 50% to whatever that level is. So whatever mode you're in, you will get 50% more if you have five of you, 25 if you only have two, and then sort of imagine what the other two numbers are, 50 and 75, and you'd be right. No, it wouldn't be 50 and 75. It would be 25.
It's like 33 and 42 or there something you go. Like that.
Look at the math on Brad, or however that saying goes.
Hi. Mathematics Brad. I do math good.
They also have the game mode bonus. This is also new. Playing ranked games will now award an XP bonus. Hero League, 25% XP. Team League, 50% XP. Big XP bonus jumps with this. I wouldn't say they're big, but, you know, we've been asking for more XP, haven't we? That's been a thing for a long time on this show.
Yeah, I think it seems like it's going to bring it to a good number. And if you want to break out your tinfoil hats, maybe this is an omen that some of the level 20 incentives they've talked about are closer than you might think.
Ooh, I don't think you even have to have a tinfoil hat to come to that conclusion. I think that's a good one. That is a fair conclusion. Finally, playing Team League in a full party with at least one friend and an active stim pack will now award a total of 225 bonus XP, or percent bonus XP. Now, I have a question about that. It says playing Team League in a full party with at least one friend. Now, I'm not saying you have to be the best of friends, but they have to be four people you know. Right?
That's true. It would be really not smart to play with five people and not at least friend one of them if you met them, say, in Frog Pants chat, because that does happen in Frog Pants. Can we get one for TTL? If you're doing that, dear listeners or community members, friend each other. Be good and friend each other. Give each other the extra 25%.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You can always drop them later when they're offline.
Yeah. So that.
Oh, that's oddly specific, that strategy. Explain your defriending.
How come every week I go, how come John's not on my list? What's going on? Oh, there he is. Okay. And then I just forget about it.
Weird. Oh, whoops. Something weird happened. I don't know. Reinvite me.
All right. So the game's also getting its Hallow's End event, October 25th through the 8th. You will get a 50% XP bonus, DKP minus, during that entire thing. And if you play 15 games during the Hallow's End in any mode except custom games, training, or Heroes Brawl. So they should just say, it's quicker to say if you play Team League, Hero League, or Quick Play. Instead of just saying everything but these other three is weird. Anyway, you get the Deputy Vala portrait. Not skin. I'll make that very clear. Don't want to lead anybody on. You're not getting her skin. You put your own lotion on the skin. You're getting her portrait. Okay? So calm down.
I was about to say Buffalo Bill is incredibly disappointed right now.
All right, quick check though. John, do you think the maps will be covered in like jack-o'-lanterns and stupid stuff like that?
No, but they should be.
It's a bummer that they're not.
I really want them to be.
The Hollow's End art team are too busy on Overwatch. They only have so many people that can draw pumpkins at Blizzard, and they're deployed to Warcraft and Overwatch. StarCraft, no love. Hearthstone, I don't think even has any.
Truly the best pumpkins in the game or in any of Blizzard properties right now are in Overwatch. Like, they've really killed it with that. Some of those skins in there are just insane and really awesome. And I like that whole event. I feel like there's a lot more to win and do in that event. I kind of wish the Heroes one had more. Like, I don't know what you could give them here. There's not even a lot of portraits or anything. It's just like, give us just more stuff to choose from. I don't know. Loot boxes are a thing in games now. I feel like Overwatch really pushed that home. I was playing Battle Right again the other day. Battle Bright. What is wrong with me?
I call it that too. Don't feel bad. All right. It's hard to say. It's a great game, but its name kind of sucks because it's really hard to say.
Yeah, it's Battle Right. And that game has loot boxes, and I like that because I might get a mount, I might get a skin, I might get a weapon skin, which is separate than regular skins, and I might get a bunch of gold or whatever. In this game, I feel like they're limited to say, all right, we'll give them an XP bonus. If they play 15 games, we'll give them the portrait. I mean, it's kind of boring. I wish there was more.
It is. I'm with you there. We have brawls now, so maybe next year we get a kick the pumpkin thing we've been asking for.
Oh.
Because that's what, at Overwatch, we have brawls. So they're like, hey, let's do a Halloween-themed brawl. And, you know, Hearthstone equally as scary this week. Let's find a way to steal everyone's money.
Yeah.
I think that with heroic
brawl. You know what my new...
Maybe next year.
Yeah. My new idea for either a mount or a character is the stupid fish you can kick around in World of Warcraft. I want it to have a name, and I want to move around with it and be the fish. So there you go.
Yeah, that should just be a talent. It doesn't do anything. It just gives you a fish to kick around.
Maybe that's Murky's fish. He has a fish.
Yeah, he does have a fish.
Oh, maybe here's an idea.
All right.
We have Halloween talents. So all your level ones get replaced with like this random weird stuff. And it's all the same for every character. You can throw a jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, I love that.
Like all your level ones are completely different for 2 weeks. And competitive everywhere.
I would do that.
I like that you really doubled down. You're like, no, incompetitive. I know what people are going to say. That this wouldn't be balanced, but too bad. It's the way it's going to be in competitive.
That's right.
You want to play Carl Jim? Tough. He's unplayable.
Remind me when did the big head mode. Was that like a April Fool's thing?
Yeah.
Okay. They're never doing that again, are they? There's no way.
That was not fun.
People were pissed. Because you get like obstructed views. Sometimes their heads would clip through their little mana bars, and they couldn't see what was going on. And it just was on, and there was shit poo you could do about it. Shit poo.
Yeah, yeah. There was shit poo you could do about it. But this, I think big head mode is kind of like pretty low effort on the specialness side. If like, let's increase their size of their heads, but yeah. Okay, like that's, I'm sure there's a button in their program that does that on the other side.
Yeah,
so
just inflating a couple of polygons is like, is a real letdown. I didn't think that was all that great, but
we could have a talent choice at level one. You can throw a pumpkin, you can have a candy ninja star. What else would we have? You can have a bag that you use to suffocate other people, and like the scary costume.
Like what, John?
Every Halloween tradition, the good old bag to suffocate people with.
Oh yeah,
the suffocation bag. I'm trying to think of all the trappings of Halloween.
Right.
Yeah. Can we carve a pumpkin? Sure. Can we go buy our Halloween candy? Sure. Can we get a bag and suffocate somebody? Did you clean your room?
Son, gather around the table for the traditional sewing of the suffocation bags for Halloween.
Yeah, you all find your homeless transient.
All right, now don't we need to wait till midnight? It's like the Addams Family, something they'd do.
Oh, come on, Dad, can't we do it now? He's starting to stink.
He's starting to smell. Can we snuff him out now? Here's some balance stuff from October 12th. You ready for these? Nova bug. That got fixed, and I don't remember what the bug was. Remind me, Bo. What happened to
Nova? She had a talent at level one that the longer you stayed stealth, the higher the slow was, and it was supposed to be a gradual decrease from like 60% slow. The bug was, it was just 60% forever. And it was pretty awesome, and I played with it, and it was absolute nightmare.
Oh my gosh! So, I'm glad they fixed that. Sounds like that. How long was that around? Like, how long did it take them to get around to?
Good 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh my lord, that's bad.
Yep.
Illidan got nerfed. Voiceover that plays while casting the hunt is now only audible for Illidan and his target. Kind of like that. That's less annoying.
I don't.
Well,
because you need play Illidan, you want everyone to hear Liam O'Brien's voice.
That's true.
You want the whole map to be like, you are not prepared. It's the whole reason. This is a nerf because people are going to be less intimidated playing with Illidan and less tilted because they don't have to hear it. I think this is a bad idea.
Especially
before
people
write, it's technically a buff. But yes, I agree. I liked it way more.
For the record, the whole of Hollywood's voice actor guild people are all going on strike on the 21st. So we may not need to worry about hearing Liam for a while. That's sadder. Oh, that came out sadder than I meant it to sound. I really didn't mean it to.
That is really sad. Yes, Martha. Today, we go on strike. Turns out nobody wants to hear my voice anymore. They just want to hear about Dr. Wowie. At Mega Man. Nobody's got room for an old codger like myself. So I ship out in the morn. Yeah. I will think of you and our child fondly.
Sincerely.
Illidan Stormreach.
Oh, that's amazing. Well done. Well done. I can't wait to see John at...
It's called JizzCon.
JizzCon, according to Pixar.
He'll be mating with boars.
Yep, that's right. Mating with boars in the main hall at JizzCon. All right. I was hoping not to make Bo laugh too hard today because I know he's going to cough. Yeah, see? Here he's going to cough his brains out.
You're killing him.
The reason we missed the show last week is he was super sick, and now he has a cough that won't stop, so... There we go.
I can feel every vein in my forehead because of that.
Oh, that's gross. All right, what else? Some other stuff. Zarya, we talked about her. Malfurion, Chen, ETC, Nazebo, all nudged with the Nerf gun. A few buff touch-ups to Vala, all of which you can find out on the website. It's kind of all boring stuff. A couple other pieces that came out of the Samuro/Brawl subreddit Q&A. They say no big announcements or news that we don't already know or have talked about. I assume that means before BlizzCon, because they're going to do something there, right? They always do. They have to.
Yeah, but there wasn't any big drops. Like sometimes Reddit, you know, it's like, oh, the new Butcher rework's coming. There wasn't anything really big. It was good, but nothing.
What if
nothing we want to talk about except this next one?
What if the big announcement? Okay, I got a better way to put that fish I was talking about from WoW in here. Okay, here's what you do.
Okay,
it's a Cho'Gall arrangement. It's two players. One is the fish. And one is a big, dumb, I don't know, moose man, all right? Like a moose tauren in High Mountain. And he needs to, like, he has to kick you to keep moving you down the lane. So his job, like Cho, to move around, his job is to kick the fish. And as the fish, you have all the AoEs damage, and you can do all kinds of weird shit to blow things up. You have all kinds of abilities that are all very magic. And your guy, your moose man back there, is just like a melee dude that has to make sure to kick the fish.
You're talking about a new two-person hero.
Yeah, like Cho'Gall.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I just thought you were pitching a new movie called The Cho'Gall Arrangement.
it's my favorite sex move is The Cho'Gall Arrangement.
The Cho'Gall Arrangement is an erotic thriller.
I do not like the plot of The Cho'Gall Arrangement, if I'm going to be
honest. I have a date tonight. Please close your eyes. I'm not ready.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, here's the big announcement. Kent Eric Hagman, who famously played J.R. Ewing on... just kidding. That's not the same guy. a game designer on HOTS wove an allegorical tale that he has been widely interpreted as meaning that Sylvanas mind control was actually intended to give Sylvanas full use of the opponent's abilities in addition to controlling their map position. But engine limitations, or as Kent put it, the Nexus, prevented such dark magics from forming substance. Ooh.
This was me trying to channel my Huffington Post article writing
lesson
I took.
No, you did a good job.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, you have to say more things like the Dark Lady. I mean, you have to, like, it has to be full of puns.
Yeah, okay. The Dark Lady really rose from the shadows.
Yeah, exactly. Week. There you go. You're getting it. This is interesting, though, because that's a much more ambitious thing, and that didn't happen, clearly. They just went with the easiest thing, which is, hey, move the dude over here.
That's it. It sounds like it was engine limitations that ultimately held them back. It felt like a really long way of saying, yeah, the engine didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, because what would the engine have to do? The engine would have to swap your controls, center your camera on that character, at least to start with. You'd have to have all the abilities in whatever, either reset to their default form or wherever they were at cooldown wise when you took to control the person. Like, there's a lot there, I guess.
Yeah.
We could stoke this rumor mill because people love to say it, and I have no idea how accurate it is, but I'm going to jump right in. Maybe they should develop their own engine instead of trying to use a StarCraft II engine.
Yeah.
Because that was like, I think it's being taken out of context to mean something deeper like that. And the truth is, we don't know. However, to me, a computer engine does whatever you tell it to do. So it's kind of C++ programming language doesn't allow mind control to do that.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I think they made, when they made that choice, I think it was a cost value kind of thing. They said we could start and make our own engine from scratch. Certainly they've done that before. They did it with World of Warcraft. They did it with Warcraft 3. Technically, you know, Overwatch is a whole new engine. Hearthstone is based in Unity, so that doesn't really count. But maybe that's kind of the same situation. They were like, well, how can we shave some of the production costs off this thing where those biggest costs are in a project like this? And one of them is absolutely an engine. To make a brand new one, you better have absolute assurity that your game is going to be League of Legends popular when it launches. And I'm not sure they thought that was going to be the case internally. So what I think they did is they cut their losses and said, all right, well, what do we have that we could use? And the closest cousin to this would have been StarCraft. And to their credit, they've done amazing things to mod that engine out to make it do what it's doing. Like, I'm actually really impressed with it. But every time I hear about something they can't do because of a limitation, a little piece of me goes, oh, man, I wish they could have started with something fresh.
And it's a little different, too, because this is the horse's mouth speaking and not some tinfoil hat guy on Reddit, you know.
Yeah, there are plenty of those.
Like, this is... Yeah, maybe a PR gaffe. Probably PR doesn't like people, developers coming out and saying, our engine is not good enough to do this cool thing I thought of.
Yeah, every time they say that, when they say something about the engine not being good enough for replays or whatever the stuff is, I always think a little bit that they weren't supposed to say that. I always get the feeling that maybe somebody would shut them up if they were in the room.
But we like Blizzard because they are very personable and down to earth as developers go.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're much more
I mean, it's also part of their charm.
They're much more transparent than they used to be. That's the thing. They've changed a lot over the years. If you'd have told me back in the Diablo 2 days or even the Warcraft 2 or Orcs and Humans days that, hey, Blizzard's big and transparent and going to tell you everything about what they're doing, I would have laughed at you. That is not the way they operated back then. Everything was a secret until it wasn't. And now it's much different. So I'll take now over that. Okay. Real quick. BlizzCon Heroes Global Championship teams are set. All the winners, well... the soon-to-be possible winners in the finals are established. And here's what you've got. In North America, Astral Authority and Denial Esports. All right? That's those guys. Europe, Team Dignitas and Fnatic. Korea. We'll talk about our favorites here in a second. Korea, MVP Black, Team Ballistics. China, Super Perfect Team and Zero Panda. Both those names are awesome. Super Perfect Team. My gosh, that is the nuttiest, freaking gutsiest, we think we're awesome name I've ever heard in my life. Super Perfect Team. All right, anyway, Southeast Asia, Imperium Pro Team, Taiwan, you got Please Buff Arthas, which seems more like a request than a name, but whatever. Latin America, you have Burning Rage, and Australia, New Zealand, the Oceanic area, you've got Reborn. Now, this is $1 million prize pool. They'll compete opening week on Wednesday, October 26th through Friday, the 28th. And this is all going to be really intense. Most people I know think that it's going to be MVP Black and everyone else should just leave. Where are you guys sitting with this? Do you have a team? Do you have a favorite?
So I have a favorite sure. Right. And that's Please Buff Arthas from Taiwan.
Okay.
All right, I'm a big fan of the Taiwanese hero scene, as it turns out. And I watched these guys play. I can't remember what it was, but... I love their name. I love their scrappy nature. They were actually giving the teams they were facing a run for their money. They were the underdogs that were actually dogging pretty hard, I think, out of all the underdog teams in the last one I saw. I like the name. I want them to win.
Okay. John, you have a pick?
I think it's going to be MVP Black, realistically, but I'm going to go ahead and make a controversial call. Maybe controversial. I don't know. I'm going to say Team Dignitas.
All right. You got to root for your home teams. They're as close as we have this time. No Cloud Nine in there this year.
Well, I don't know if Europe's as close. To
oh, you said Dignitas. I was thinking
two American teams in there, but
I was thinking, you know, Denial Esports.
My mom's from England, so I guess sure.
I was thinking Denial for some reason. So here's who I want to win. I want an American team to win. That's right. I'm feeling a little bit frosty about this. I would like an American team to win. They won't, but I want them to. So Astral Authority or Denial Esports, both of you guys, no pressure, but let's do something, all right? Make NA proud. But if anyone needs to win on stupid names alone, Super Perfect Team is my pick. All right.
I don't know. I feel like Please Buff Arthas has it beat.
But they're Super Perfect.
The Super Perfect Team, when they screw up, they're open to all kinds of slams. Turns out, Johnny on Super Perfect Team, not so perfect, right, Ted?
Good
point.
Yeah,
that's right. He sure took it in the face.
Yeah, you're right. And then if the other team wins or loses, doesn't matter, because either way, people still need to buff Arthas, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Have you seen the symbol for these guys? It's like it's a silhouette of Arthas with a tear coming out of his eye.
Oh, man.
Like, what's not to like about this? This is amazing. These are guys that are having fun. They're playing competitively. They're not taking themselves too, like, who are we? We're Burning Rage. Yep. We're named after talent, and also we're angry and super cool. Like, no thanks.
Well,
I guess my second favorite would be Astral Authority. If Please Buff Arthas comes out, that's the old Murloc Geniuses team, and they've been around for a while and got a lot of pedigree. So,
all right.
So I might swing back to North America for my second pick.
A reminder: if you see John and I at BlizzCon, come up and say, "I'm sorry, not BlizzCon.
It's called JizzCon."
Sorry. When you see us there,
thanks, Derpster.
Come on up and say hi and hang out, and it'll be a good old time. All right, it's time for a very special moment in the show, and you might think Nex Eperty is coming up next. You'd be wrong. Even though it shares the same opening theme song, and then this music here on the back end. It is called By the Light. John, this is on you.
Why, thank you. Before we get right into it, let me go ahead and give a little disclaimer. Unlike Nex Eperty, By the Light is a completely 100% original idea, so this might be extremely broken. This is the first test session of By the Light. So if this goes horribly, we'll fix it later.
Wow.
All right.
Look, I'm just saying I can't. This is how I play test it. This is a live play test.
No, it's so good. I'm happy to be here for the first. This is really the first rollout. I feel honored to do this, so that's fine.
Without further ado, let me go ahead and kick it over to who's introducing it. Hail and well met, heroes. Welcome to By the Light.
Uther, the Lightbringer. Is it really Uther? Is it you?
Yes, lad. Now, patience. I'll introduce you in a moment.
He loses Today's 2 points for being an impatient contestant.
Today's episode is brought to you by Silverhand Bakery, because sweet treats shouldn't be a sin. Today's contestants are Bo Knuckles Schwartz.
Knuckles?
And
Scott, I cleared that up.
Other People's House Smell Johnson.
What?
And here's your host, John, just wanted to do an Uther impression, Jagger.
All right.
Hi.
For the record, you know, I got that nickname in high school when I had Knuckles. The doctor cleared it up. I haven't had it in over two decades.
That's pretty good.
You know, it's what happens, man.
I'd greatly appreciate if people didn't refer to me as Knuckles anymore. It's a hard time.
Hey, you know what? You got Knuckles, which is short and sweet. Scott got Other People's House Smell.
I think
Wait. Did you call him the other people's house smell?
No.
John, the other people's house smell. Like, he smells like other people's houses.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
first thing that popped into my head when I was trying to come up with nicknames for you guys.
Oh, man. Oh. All right. Well,
I'm glad you prepared so much for this.
Yeah, well done.
Literally first thing that popped into my head.
All right.
All right. Well, as I said, this is a new game, so the rules are a little different. So go ahead and go with me on this. The goal of this game is to, by the light, Now, by default, the light, as it were, has a $500 price tag.
All right.
Okay? So your goal is to end the game with the most amount of money to bid on the light. So
and these are dollars. Words, this isn't gold or something weird.
It's this is dollars.
Okay. All
right. This is a cash grab.
All right.
So in other words, if both of you were to say have over $500 at the end of this, whoever has the most money can make the highest bid and therefore wins. But if you're both under the amount of the light, you both lose.
All right.
So there is a scenario where everybody's a loser except the light, which will always win.
All right.
So the way we're going to do this is I am going to ask you 10 questions. And whoever gets it right will get a dollar value. That dollar value goes up starting at $100 all the way up to $1,000 at the very end. Now, whoever gets the question right, you get the money. If you get it wrong, the money goes to the value of the light and it gets more expensive.
Oh, okay.
And if you get it wrong, you lose control of the board. So the first thing we need to decide is who's going to be in control of the board for the first question. Now, how do you do that, you might ask?
How do you do that, John?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Both of you are starting with $100. And right now, on Scout's Honor, you're going to have to tell me how much you would like to bid to be the first guesser on this competition. Now, this money will go towards the value of the light and obviously subtract from your pool. So think carefully. Controlling the board is valuable, but you're also losing money to do it. All so, right.
Scott, can I borrow your $100?
I don't think you can do that.
Let's start.
Is that allowed?
No.
Bo.
Okay, Bo, you do your... And I have to... Scout's Honor, I have to have a number in my head already, right?
Yep, have okay. to have a number in your head already.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, Bo, how much are you bidding to be the first one to go?
I bid $1.
$1.
I bid... Right. Scout's Honor, I bid $31.
Oh, okay. Let's make it round numbers, folks.
All right, 30. I'll give it 30.
Okay.
That's the closest I've got.
Shouldn't he round up?
No, why no, that's not rounding up. That's rounding way up. That's rounding 10 bucks up. Forget it. So yeah, 30
to $100.
I feel dumb. 30 is a lot. And it's now made our a light more expensive, but all right. Anyway, yeah. So 30. So I control the board.
So you control the board. I'm right now because y'all pick dumb numbers. This is totally going to change. You're going to have to do increments of 25 in the future.
Okay.
Cause boy, did I make a mistake not putting
it was $1. How hard is it to add or subtract one? Jeez.
I changed it. It's now.
Where did you take math class?
You did 10, Bo. I changed it.
All right. But I haven't spent any. I didn't get it.
Hey, Bo, Scout's Honor, you chose 10. It's fine.
You chose 10. Yeah. Scout's Honor.
Yeah.
Scout's Honor, Bo.
Yeah.
All right. So, Scott, you have control of the board. Now, before I ask the first question, there is one more mechanic as we go forward.
All right.
For $100, you can pass a judgment. Now, judgments are usually going to be beneficial for you. They are weighted as far as I'm going to roll a random number, and depending on what the number, it's kind of like loot boxes. Mm-hmm. You get something.
Okay.
Most of them are beneficial. However, there are retributions. And those would not be beneficial. That $100 goes towards the light, but you get to reap whatever the rewards are. That could be extra money. That could be a hint. Could be a lot of things.
Is Uther
right now, you don't have $100, so...
Is Uther a Rhett Paladin, or is he something else?
I think he's holy.
Well, he may be a big combo, like Khadgar's is everything all the time. It's probably like
he's kind of like everything.
Yeah. He has all the specs.
He's an everything paladin.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so Scott, are you ready? You
I'm
currently
ready.
Have $70.
Totally ready.
And your first question is, what was the first new hero revealed at BlizzCon 2015?
2015?
Yep.
I don't have to answer this in the form of a question or any of that stuff, right? This is non-Jeopardy. Okay.
Yep, non-Jeopardy.
The first character at BlizzCon 2015 was... I know it wasn't Cho'Gall. They saved that for last. Shit. I was there for it. Okay. How long do I have?
a decent amount of time, I guess.
All right. I'm going to say... I just don't remember. I honestly don't remember. I can't remember. I'll just say a name, I guess. Artanis.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The answer was Gen Greymane.
Ah, frick.
What? I don't get a chance to answer. I knew the answer.
Nope, you don't get a chance to answer, Bo. You get...
What kind of game is this?
That money has now gone to the light. All it's right. Not your game.
Right. We're never going to be able to afford it if you keep giving away the answers.
Well, well now right, it's, now the pressure is on you.
Yeah.
So the light's value is now $635 in order to buy the light.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Bo, you have $90 currently. I know you want 99, but you
I'm ready to answer. 90. Let's go.
Wait a minute. So if you bid, let me ask something. So if when I outbid him with 30 versus his 10, yeah. He still has to pay 10?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I get it.
So, Bo.
Yes.
Which hero was accidentally revealed during a BlizzCon 2015 panel? This is for $200.
Cool, Dan.
That's correct.
Damn it. I knew that one. Frick.
I should also point out these fluctuate in difficulty throughout because I realized very quickly that if they just got progressively harder, there's no way you would ever win. So yeah. Expect spikes and drops as we go forward.
All right.
So, Bo, you maintain control. And for $300, which Heroes of the Storm trailer did Gul'dan first appear in?
Which Heroes of the Storm trailer did he first appear in?
Yeah.
Yep.
There's... You're not just talking about CGI trailers, right?
Correct.
Right.
Oh, he appeared in the Medivh trailer.
That's correct.
Damn it. I knew that too. Oh, I was really thinking you weren't going to get it. But then I can't steal it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I knew.
No, it feels bad, man, right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's a satisfaction of rubbing it in my face, Scott.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's but keep in mind, Scott, if he gets one wrong and then you get the next one right, you basically are right up to his level of money.
All right.
Because they get progressively more valuable. Right. But Bo has to get one wrong, and he's doing quite well so far.
How much money do I have?
You currently have $590.
And the light costs 600 change?
635.
All right, give me the next one.
In his introductory trailer, Medivh initially rescues which hero from Illidan?
That one is hard. That's a hard one.
It's a good question, McMahon.
That's a good question.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
In the Medivh trailer. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, I don't know the answer. I don't lose money if I guess, though, right?
Now, keep in mind, you can spend $100 if you want to try and pass a judgment.
All right, I'm going to pass a judgment. Okay. Who do I pass judgment on? On Scott?
Oh, it's going to pass a judgment. That's okay. Going to drop down to $490.
I pass a judgment every morning, by the way. Every morning I pass one. Go ahead.
Let's see what you get. You rolled a 13.
Sweet. That sounds like it's going to be lucky, Scott. I think my fortunes are going to take a turn.
Yeah.
13. You get a hint. You receive a hint to the question.
Oh, all right.
So,
wait, use that to pass judgment on Scott. Scott, you need to brush your teeth
the
more.
The judgment is that you're going to be doing much better. Now, I did think of a hint for this one already. I don't know if it's going to help you very much, but I actually had the wrong answer for this question for a good chunk of time because I was convinced I knew it, and I had to go back and watch the video. I was wrong. So your hint is, it is not Tracer. That is in the Gul'dan video.
What, did he say?
That's what I thought it was. And then wait, you said Medivh trailer.
Yes. So it is not Tracer.
Tracer's the one that gets messed up in the Gul'dan trailer. Yeah, I remember that. She's the focus of it. So in the Medivh trailer, it's who Medivh is saving, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's definitely one of the good guy characters because that's sort of this alliance versus...
Sure. I'll give you a little added on. It's one of the good guys' characters. Good guy characters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Thank you for confirming.
Yeah, that'd be a hard one. That'd be a real tough one.
Who would they pair him up with? I don't know. I'm going to take a shot in the dark, say Jaina.
That is incorrect.
Phew. I don't even know.
The answer is Thrall.
Oh. For some reason, I pictured this character. This just goes to show my stereotypes I have in my head about who's in danger and who has to save them. Because in my mind, it was somebody cuddled in the arms of Medivh, and he's carrying one of the woman characters away from danger. Nope. Now I picture Thrall in Medivh's arms getting carried around. That's amazing. All right. So the board's mine now. This is my chance.
So the board goes back.
Oh, your retribution was the hint. Or no,
that was your judgment.
Your judgment.
The retribution is just a potential when you get a judgment. It could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have a rare chance of retribution.
I rolled 13 and didn't get a retribution. This is...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yet.
Continue on. I'll stop interrupting.
Yet.
All right. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Right. So, Scott, for $500, by the way, if you want to know the current levels, the light is currently $1,135.
Oh, my Lord.
I hope you brought a lot of questions, Chuck.
Scott, the... this hero of the storm can be seen alongside Thrall in the Shaman Class Hall in World of Warcraft Legion.
Oh, crap. I've done no shaman work.
Do you need me to repeat the question?
I know who it is. It's Rhaegar.
Correct.
Okay. Of course it is. He's a shaman. He's shamanistic.
That puts you at $570, and you still have control of the board.
All right.
And what brings us to the most difficult question, and let me tell you, writing it was a pain in the butt.
Great.
By judgment, Scott. By judgment.
Very carefully on this one, okay?
All right.
By judgment first. By judgment first.
Hold on,
Scott.
I can
According
hear it.
To IMDb,
yeah.
Rhaegar was voiced by Matt Mercer in Heroes of the Storm. In World of Warcraft Legion, Matt Mercer provided the voice of a different character that also resides in the Nexus, but the hero's incarnation is actually credited to Steve Bloom. Name the character that both of these voice actors have in common between these two games.
Oh my gosh.
So I know the answer.
You know the answer to this?
I do, but okay, I'm not allowed to participate.
I'm buying a judgment.
Lend
me $500.
All right, so that's going to take you down to 470.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and roll and see what you got here. Oh, you rolled a 15.
Is that a retribution?
That's what a 15 is. 15, it is a retribution.
Damn it!
Bogus. Your opponent gets control of the board for free next round. Oh. So even if you get this right, Bo gets the next guess.
Oh, that sucks. Okay. Oh, that's just my luck to get it. What are my chances? Is there a percentage chance of retribution? Like how many?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. It actually kind of spoils the numbering system a little bit, but it's about, it goes two good, then a bad, then two good, then a bad.
Okay. That's fair. All right. I'm going to say, so there's a character they have in common in the Nexus. Or in other words, sorry, Matt Mercer does Rhaegar in the Nexus, but he does somebody else in Legion.
Right.
The guy who does Rhaegar in WoW is not the same as Mercer, but does another character in Legion.
A character in common. The character that Mercer does in Legion is the same character Bloom does in Heroes.
Okay. Who is... Oh, sorry, I'm doing it like Jeopardy. I'm going to say... Medivh.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
You're going to hate yourself for not getting this one.
The answer is Rexxar.
Oh my gosh. Another orc. Frick. And you know what makes it more complicated is some of his just chattery chat when he's running out in the world in Legion with you is Metzen. And it's stuff they take from, they've pulled from other orc voices he did in the past. So a lot of, what do you need? And things like that. Ugh. That annoys me. All right. Good question, though. Well done. I'm glad I got the most difficult one and rolled a freaking retribution. This is my luck today.
It didn't go particularly well for you.
No.
Bo, for $700, Steve Bloom is also credited on IMDb with two more heroes' voices. What are the two heroes?
Heroes and Heroes of the Storm?
Yeah.
Correct.
Really?
Yep.
Yep. I'll tell you what. I actually...
Judgment, please.
Okay. Calm your horses there.
Retribution.
That brings you down to 390.
I'm going to spend myself into a hole.
Yeah.
Let's see what Bo gets for a judgment here. You got a 21. Oh, that's actually really a big one because the ones at the end
are really
big.
Yeah.
What was 21? It's not going to be that bad, ultimately. Retribution.
Oh, good.
The ultimate retribution. You and your opponent switch money amounts.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's worse for me.
No, it isn't. Oh. You are gaining a little under $100.
Okay.
No, you're gaining a little over $100.
I'll take it. Let's switch money. That's fine.
I feel like you just rounded it to $100 because any other math would be
$2. It's probably true.
Like 78. He's just like, $100. Yeah. All right. Well, good game, Scott.
All right. Thank you for your money.
You have control of the question.
You're not guessing? You're not. By the way, I was going to say, let me read it as it was originally written, to be fair to you.
Okay.
Please name at least one of the two.
Who, me or Scott?
You.
You. You have control of the board currently.
I really don't. I just know he voices Rexar because I hear the call of the wild. Mm-hmm. And doesn't he do Batman in the animated series?
No.
He's never done Batman, but...
He doesn't do Batman? I thought he did.
No, that's what's his
Kevin
name?
Conroy.
Kevin Conroy, yeah.
He does something in Batman, though, doesn't he?
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought I saw a thing.
Do you know this, Scott? Because no. I know you know who Steve Bloom is.
I know him, but I didn't know he did that many characters. I thought it was just, I'm the same as him. I thought it was Rexar, and that was it.
I don't know who the other ones are.
Not
sorry.
Rexar, Rhaegar.
All right. You could have given me Abathur or Dahaka.
Oh, damn it.
Well, I wouldn't have been able to tell. That's so modular. That's a hard. Those are hard.
Those are good. Those are good voices. That guy's great.
He's
56 years old. And he looks younger than me.
Guys, I don't mean to alarm you. I don't think you're going to be able to afford the light.
That's all right, because at the end, someone still has more money than the other guy, and while I may not own the light, I will have won, or he will have won.
No, if we can't buy it, we both lose. Those are the rules.
Yeah, but I'll be able to say at least that I had $50 more.
You know what? I like John's idea because now there's no winner or loser. We can just be losers together. Alex Trebek says.
Okay. Yeah, we can losers, right? So losers, you mean.
All right, Scott, for $800.
Oh, my.
Abathur and Dahaka are two of four Zerg characters in Heroes of the Storm. However, that number goes up if you count skins. Name two characters who would be part of the swarm if skins counted.
So
in other words, which two join the swarm if you go off of the skin?
Zagara?
No, not which two are actually Zerg by default.
These two
are only Zerg if you change.
Oh, okay. I got you now. All right. I understand. The Butcher.
That's one.
And... Tychus, infested Tychus.
Yes, correct.
Woo! 800 bones.
Yeah, let me get that added here.
Nicely I have done.
Gotten to calculator levels, so this was smart.
So what is like the light cost 25 grand now? Where are we at?
It's exponentially growing every time there's a turn. It's like $30,000. Yeah. Next to
we'll never catch up with the amount unless we start answering questions perfectly.
Well, no, Scott's pretty close now. So currently, here's the board. The light costs $2,635.
Yeah.
Bo has $470, and Scott has $1,190.
Okay.
Scott, we can put our money together.
We could.
Yeah, if we get enough, we can combine it and win together.
Buy the light.
Yeah. We can convert it to quarters, put them in rolls, put them in a pillow case, and then beat John over the head with it. All right, that sounds like a thing.
All right, Scott, for $900.
$900. Would this put me within, I would be owning it if I get this right, right?
You would be able to afford it, but it's still, we go through the full 10.
Sure, okay.
In his introductory trailer, the Butcher picks off his victims one by one. Who is the first to go missing in the trailer?
Tyriel.
That is incorrect.
Damn it!
You made the price go up, Scott.
I know. Frick. I was sure it was him. Erg.
The answer was Jaina.
Oh. I almost said Jaina because it's those two hanging out.
Yep. She gets picked off just before Tyriel.
Man. Frick. All right.
Well, there won't be a winner tonight, but let's see if Bo can at least get a respectable over $1,000 on his board here. Bo, for $1,000, Jaina was revealed at an event. What was the name and year of that event?
Oh, my Lord.
PAX East 2014.
Okay.
Correct.
Oh, wow. That was a shot in the dark.
Was it? Well done.
I was like, what's the convention? PAX East. That's what everyone talks about. Yeah. And 2014 seemed right.
But then they showed that, but then at BlizzCon later that year, they showed a Thrall Jaina combo thing.
That would have been correct, Scott. You should have had control of the board because that would have been right. It was BlizzCon 2014 for the Jaina reveal. So that brings us to a grand total. The light costs you $4,535.
Yeah.
Bo, oh, wait, you can currently I buy a judgment still?
You what?
Bo, you want to buy a judgment at the end of the game?
I just want to see what they do. Like, do I get a hammer of righteousness or anything? It just sounds
you
like...
actually, if you roll the 7 three times in a row, you instantly win the game.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
This is like getting a weird order at In-N-Out Burger you didn't know existed on the menu. That's amazing.
Yeah,
the thing is, it was a fun game. I really enjoyed it. I know you wanted to wrap it up officially, but I want to say this. When I buy a judgment, I feel like I need to insult somebody or look down my nose at somebody. It's just a part of the, you know, and the retribution means if I'm going to do that, well, actually someone's going to look down their nose at me. Like, you should get a haircut.
Mo wants it to turn into a big insult fest.
Sure,
the guy
why not?
Who created the "Don't talk bad about Nexeperity" wants it to turn into a big insult fest.
In good fun spirit.
Sure,
not real.
Sure.
You don't
fun.
Really need to brush your teeth more, Scott.
I do. Trust me, I do.
Well, nobody can buy the light, but in pure dollar value, Scott was our winner.
Take that, Bo right, Schwartz.
Congratulations, fellow competitor, on your fair and fine performance.
Thank you. You're like, I was like a Trump tweet, and you were like a Hillary tweet, not a treat.
Now,
I think I'd rather be a Trump tweet, I gotta be honest.
There was a whole nother mechanic that I cut because I thought that I didn't want to overcomplicate it for the first night. I thought there was plenty already, and that could play a significant effect on it if I put it back. So I don't know. First place.
I liked it. Beta complete. I liked it. I think it was fun. I liked it quite a bit. I think I suck at getting. Well, I guess Bo got a retribution as well, so I shouldn't feel too bad. Well done, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. Let's finish out our time here with the fine folks with an email that I'm going to read to you right now. This came to us at core@heroesforyou.com. 801-471-0462 is our phone number. You can leave voicemails there as well. This one says this. Hi, guys. I just can't help but think the rank system is designed to discourage people from actually rising in the ranks. I am stuck in bronze, and I don't see how I'm ever going to get out. Problem one. During my placement matches, I had two matches thrown because of an AFK player, so I ended 5-5. I was at bronze 3 and ended up at bronze 5, so that's super terrible because, just like the last season, I am constantly surrounded by new players who have no idea what they're doing. Just really have no idea. And we are losing like crazy, which keeps me in bronze. I guess it might be the same with other levels, but at least with silver and up, these are nominally experienced players. Although I think Bo may argue against that. In bronze. It's just a plane of hell, and then I don't see any way of getting out of it. Especially since I'm supposed to only be winning 50% of the time. What incentive, what hope do I have to keep playing to rise out of bronze? Just so frustrated. That being said, loving the show, I laugh more with this podcast than anything else, even TV or film. So thank you, he says. Well, anonymous writer, I think we've talked about this some, but I feel like bronze is really the true, that is the plane of hell for a lot of people, because there are a lot of other contributing factors to you feeling like you're just sort of spinning in place. Whereas, as much as Bo, as you said, there's some real wieners even at the top level of this game. It does seem like you're going to have potentially maybe a more challenging, but a better experience overall at those higher levels.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So if he can't get out, I don't know what to tell. How does he get out? How do you get out?
Well, this is the problem, is that I think if you talk to a lot of people who are good at the game and have a platform, they're all going to say things like, just play assassin, just be good at killing people. The problem is that a lot of this advice are from people that are not going to stay in bronze too long. It's taking advice from people that don't live in your, you know, ask a rich person how to fill out a welfare form or something like that, or what they should do to become rich. Like, you know, it's, you're in bronze and getting out of it is going to take time. It's just, you're going to have to take it slow, and it's hard not to feel like I'm in platinum right now, and I haven't been playing that much, and I'm somewhat tilted that I'm in platinum because I earned my way all over diamond last season. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually a little disincentivized to play. Maybe also why I'm sojourning in Allied Commanders a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's anyone that speaks for people who are just going to, there's a segment of the people playing this game who will qualify for bronze and stay in bronze. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to think that it's them.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit condescending sometimes to say to someone, well, everyone can get out of bronze because you just gotta be good, or you just gotta kill things a lot, or you just gotta carry the team, or whatever the advice is.
Yeah.
The fact is, you are where you are, and it's gonna take time for you to get to that plus 50% win rate, and it's gonna suck. It's gonna feel discouraging, and you have to ask yourself if this game is fun enough to keep trying long enough to find that edge, because people do, and you'll have to do that. There's no silver bullet, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
I agree. What do you think, John? Yeah. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, time is really the biggest factor here. And kind of like Bo, I'm still on my placements for this season because I was real gung-ho a couple weekends ago that I was going to get through them. And I got into a game, and I had a guy immediately, because I was still in placements, said, great, with a noob.
Yeah.
Because I was still in my placements, like we all were when this season started, but, you know, whatever. He says, great, got a noob. He then proceeded to just hang out. He picked Hammer, and he just hung out in a lane, and he just did his own thing. And he was repeatedly asked to join the fights, and he said, it's not worth helping you guys. You're all bad. Nobody's listening to what I'm telling you to do. You're all terrible at this game. Just absolute toxic player. And at the end, you know, we lost because every team fight was 4-on-5, and we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it without his help. You know, part of the advantage of having hammers, you get that umbrella to fight under, and we never had that umbrella. And as the match was ending and it was clear we were losing, he said, thanks, placement guy. Why don't you stop being such a noob? And he literally had everybody else on the team say, it's you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, shut up. You don't even know. You guys don't even know. You're too bad at this game to know.
Yeah.
And you're going to get those guys. But it was enough for me to say, you know what? I don't need this in my life right now.
Yeah.
I'm done for a while. I'm stepping away from this. Yeah. And I haven't gone back. Yeah. And there is a part of me that's like, oh, you kind of let the trolls win. But at the same time, like Bo said, it takes time. And you have to be wanting to put in that time and effort. And at this point, I just wasn't 100% sure if I wanted to keep putting in that time and effort by myself. It's more fun with friends. It's more fun with other people.
Yeah.
I would say if you can find 4 people, switch to Team League. That's going to be my universal advice.
Yeah.
It depends on your competitive background, too, because you can play games for decades, but still the PvP environment, if it's still new to you. There's a lot of stuff required for video game PvP, just general skills too.
Yeah.
That I think if you're stuck at bronze, it's because you're working on those things. And I say stuck. If you end up at bronze, it's one thing. I started in bronze.
Yeah.
You should be able to work your way through it eventually by learning from your mistakes. So give it time.
And when you say time, are we talking, like when we say to somebody, do the time it takes, are we telling them that it could take 3-4 seasons? Like, you know, like I know it's going to vary for people, but that's, I think people at least need to understand that that may be what we're talking about here is, you know, sucking it up for years.
It's a long-term thing. There's no way you're not leveling up quickly. Don't even think about diamond. Don't even think about gold league. Just think about the next. You're in bronze 5, get to bronze 4.
Yeah.
And you practice playing, and also know this, at every, it happens to me, you're going to go on 9 loss streaks. You're going to be at bronze 3 and go down to bronze 5. And like I've done, I asked myself, do I have any business playing this game? I must suck. Mm-hmm. But it's variance, because once you play some more, you'll start winning the games. In the long run, you grind up higher. So you might have just hit a variant streak at bronze 3, and you just need to keep playing and enjoy the game. And yep, people are noobish. There's going to be frustrating people the entire way in solo queue. Yep. That is the environment in solo queue. Is even a diamond, you're going to get frustrated. Yep. So just figure out what a lot of people say, it's assassins. Just get good at killing people to carry you up. But whatever works for you and is fun for you, and if that's playing Carl Jim every match, then just do that. Enjoy yourself while you're playing too.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. Well, there you go. There's your email for this week. core@heroesforyou.com is that email address. It's going to about do it for the show, everybody. A reminder that we'll, at least two of us will be at BlizzCon. If you're going to BlizzCon, come find us, come hang out, come say hi. We're going to be all over the Hilton and all over the place. So, very much looking forward to that and to whatever Heroes brings there, including competitive play, where hopefully John and I don't sit for 4 hours waiting for a technical problem to be fixed like last year. That was a bummer.
Yeah,
good times. In the meantime, check us out on the web, heroesforyou.com. You can also hear us live on this very program every week at twitch.tv/frogpants_Scott. Or if you'd rather just listen because you're in your car or something, you can check out alphageekradio.com. They also simulcast it. You can join us in the game, /joinfrogpants, and play with us until there's a proper clan system. That's the way it's going to be. So come join us there. And play with some of your friends and some of the community. That's always a good time. Oh, gosh, what else? 801-471-0462 for our voicemail. And on Twitter, you can follow all of us. All of us? All of us. Bo Schwartz at Bo Schwartz. Scott Johnson at Scott Johnson. Of course, John_Jagger for John. And the show is at Core Heroes. That's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. Okay.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
And scene.